Northern Ohio Bias presents NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley.
Episode 8, and Justin, it's exciting. We're in the playoffs, and Martin Truex Jr., man, is leaving everybody in the dust.
Yep, that's the same story as it was in the regular season, and not much has changed. So if you want to know who's still the king of the mile and a half, MJT, or MTJ, I should say, Martin Truex Jr. So good run for him, and got behind a little early, but showed that power yet again. A lot of guys have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that race real quick, briefly, ladies and gentlemen, on this podcast. And we're back at it here. We had a little week hiatus, so, but we didn't want to leave you without getting into the playoff push here. And, Justin, you talk about that race. We'll get to the next one and see who your final four is. And then, of course, talk about some of the movement that's going to happen during the offseason. But you said he got behind early. I mean, he got penalized in that first stage. And then, you know, Chase Elliott wins the second stage. So you're thinking Martin Truex Jr., you know, what's happening? Because usually he's the stage king, and then he finishes the race.
Yeah, I never really had a surprise there. I kind of figured he would win. He was fast all weekend. He's been the king of the mile and a half all year long. So even though he got behind, I think that just shows you the power of himself and his team. They didn't get down. They kept digging, and they got back in the race, and they ran away with it. There was no contest at the end. I don't even think a late caution would have mattered, but as you said, Chase won that second stage. He was kind of a big surprise to me. I knew he ran well at Chicago last year, but really didn't expect him to run as well as he did. So he seems to have some of the speed that Jimmy had in the playoffs last year. So big surprise with Chase Elliott being in second, and he really made a big statement, I thought.
We look at some of the stuff that's coming this offseason, Justin. I mean, the big news over here the last 2 weeks was that Danica Patrick possibly leaving. People think she might retire. Casey Kane is leaving the Levine family. I mean, talk about some of this news. What's notable? What's not?
Yeah, obviously Danica leaving is a big thing. You know, she brought a lot of interest into the sport, whether you like her or not, or agree with the decision that Stuart Haas kept her around as long as they did. You got to admit, she did bring a lot of viewers into it, and was kind of a big aspect of that kind of push to, I think, really speak to a lot of young girls that, hey, you know, you can race. You can do this. Now, she didn't run up front very often, but she did have 7 top tens throughout her career. She still has a couple shots at some more of those. I know some good tracks for her are coming up. She runs well at Dover, runs well at Martinsville, and sometimes she will surprise you on a mile and a half. I really would look forward to maybe even Danica possibly getting a win at Talladega, because anybody can win that race. And Danica has been strong there, and she hasn't had the luck. But again, you know, I kind of saw that coming. She hasn't really run that well, and they decided to go with a different sponsor in Smithfield there. I know Bubba Wallace will be joining the King next year. That's going to be a big thing. And even though a lot of, I guess, diversity is maybe kind of threatened with Danica leaving, which I still don't think that's going to threaten that much. I think Bubba Wallace being in a top ride is good for the sport. It opens a lot of doors for a lot of people, and again, gives future racers a lot of hope that, you know what, we can be in the same position as Bubba Wallace. So I'm really excited to see what he can do. He ran well in the 43 car, and I think he'll run well his rookie year coming up.
All right, Justin, we know Martin Truex Jr. is running away with it here. I don't know if anybody will catch him points-wise, but we know how it is. How do you see this Final Four playing out?
Well, the Final Four I had originally had Jimmy Johnson in it, but he hasn't really shown speed in a lot this summer. He really hasn't been fast these last 5 or 10 races. You know, I mean, you go back and look at it, he didn't really run that well at Chicago. He was just kind of there. I mean, he's solid. He'll move on to the next round, I think. But my Final Four, definitely, I'm putting Martin Truex in that. I don't see him being caught on points. He'll be fine. He'll probably win a couple more races before the season's out. I think you got to put Kyle Busch in there. He was strong throughout the summer. And then you look at Kyle Larson. I'll put him in there as well. And the fourth guy, who I substituted for Jimmy Johnson, I think BK makes it. I think Keselowski will make the Final Four. And you'll get a little drama there at Homestead with him and Kyle Busch. That feud really has never simmered down in about 7 years, so I don't look for it to be simmering down anytime soon. Again, those are my Final Four guys, but my pick for the champion, I originally said it was going to be Martin Truex, but given the way Larson has run at Homestead in the past, I really look for this to be Kyle Larson's year. He was quiet at Chicago, but I think he's just doing enough. You know, he's not overdoing it. This is his first playoff, or actually his second playoff, but it's his first real shot at a championship. I look for him to be consistently strong and then make his moves toward the end of the season.
Yeah, great feature on Kyle Larson right now on ESPN. They did part of their E60 that airs on Sunday mornings. They talk about his heritage, you know, being, you know, having a Japanese mother and having, you know, that part of his history and his lineage and, you know, how that played into his racing and all that, you know, good stuff. And, I mean, he's a very interesting guy, but it was one thing true, Justin. This guy was born to race. I mean, there's some great pictures they show of him from all ages, just always with a race car in his hand, racing go-karts, or, you know, racing that kart series.
Yeah, he's just one of those who is a prodigy at it, and he's like Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson before him. He's born to race, like you said. And Kyle Larson's a fun guy to watch. I know some fans don't like Kyle. A lot of fans do like Kyle, but he's in the category of the good Kyle and the bad Kyle. We all know who the fans think is the bad Kyle, and that's Kyle Busch. So, you know, though, it is a lot of fun to watch Kyle Larson race. He hangs it out there every lap. He's going as hard as he can. I don't think he went necessarily as hard as he really probably wanted to at Chicago, but I think he got the most out of his car. And that's what you have to do in the playoffs. And he's really showing that he has graduated in terms of maturity as a racer this year. And, again, that's why I think that he will surprise everybody and take the cup this year.
Yeah, I've been a fan since that pole he won at the All-Star race there earlier in late spring. So definitely enjoy Kyle Larson. What can we talk about here, Justin, when it comes to New Hampshire, this speedway, this
Well, New Hampshire is sometimes it can be a fuel mileage race. Sometimes it can be even a long run type of race. But most importantly is the guys who run well normally at Martinsville or Pocono, they're going to run well at New Hampshire. I look for Johnson to be up front. I look for Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, those guys to be at the front of the pack. And also Martin Truex. Every week I think you're going to see Martin Truex up front, so that's no surprise. But in terms of who will compete for this win, I think Keselowski's overdue to win at Loudon. He runs well there historically. I think you will see his teammate, Joey Logano, do well there too. He got his first win there back in 2011. So even though he's not in the playoffs, he could play spoiler this week. And, you know, it's just Loudon's one of those tracks that really doesn't stand out. It's kind of, to be honest, it's kind of a boring racetrack. But sometimes we'll have some good finishes, and I think that the racing will be closer than it has been in the past. But again, I think you'll have your usual characters up front.
All right. Well, we're excited to see that one. Hopefully the drivers make the race this time, you know, not the track. Justin, go ahead and take us out.
As the season progresses, we'll see more excitement. Talladega's still ahead. Martinsville's still ahead. And for those of you who are Dale Jr. fans, hey, he might have a shot to win another one at Talladega, so don't count him out.
There you have it, Episode 8, ladies and gentlemen. You know you can always find us at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter. You can definitely give us a like on Facebook. Same thing with an Ohio Bias. This podcast is always, as you probably found it, available on Google Play, the podcast store, on iTunes, and also on the Stitcher app.
We thank you for listening to this edition of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley, and we will talk at you next time.